Hello, I'm Neil Nunes with the BBC News. Armed men in Haiti have opened fire at medical staff, police officers, and journalists during a media conference to announce the reopening of the country's biggest public hospital. At least two journalists and a police officer were killed. Many others are injured. Journalists were waiting for the arrival of the health minister at the general hospital in the capital, Port-au-Prince, when the shooting began. In a video statement, the head of Haiti's Presidential Transitional Council, Leslie Voltaire, condemned the attack.
What happened today in the general hospital, where the population, where the journalists, where the police officers are victims, is unacceptable. We express our sympathy to all the victims' families, in particular to the Haiti National Police and all the journalists' associations. We guarantee them that this act will not remain without consequences.
The new administration in Syria says all armed rebel factions have agreed to bring themselves under the defense ministry, but it's emerged Syrian Kurdish factions weren't among them. The country's new leader, Ahmed Ashara, said any weapons outside the government's control will not be allowed. Here's Lina Sinjab.
There are still factions that haven't joined. Namely, we're talking about the Kurdish forces, the Syrian Democratic Forces supported by the U.S. and based in northeast Syria. It's still unclear how the relationship will unfold between the two sides. The Kurds had their own autonomy and set up their army because of the unjust living under Assad, and they haven't had their rights. But the situation has changed today, and that there is a chance for them to be part of the mosaic of Syria.
Iran says it's lifting bans on WhatsApp and Google Play after 2 years. Both were banned at the height of mass protests sparked by the death in custody of Mahsa Amini. WhatsApp's end-to-end encryption had made it hard for officers to monitor conversations. The war in Gaza has led to heavily muted Christmas celebrations in Bethlehem for a second consecutive year. Festivities in the historic square of the Church of the Nativity have been reduced to a prayer service. Our correspondent Shama Khalil is in Bethlehem.
There's a big absence of the huge Christmas tree that normally glistens at this time of night and lights up Manger Square. That's nowhere to be seen. And this is really your biggest indication that while the ceremonies are happening, it is a very somber mood here, and the ceremonies are muted. The big celebrations have been cancelled out of respect, but also out of deep sorrow for what is happening in Gaza. Yet again, for a second year running, the war in Gaza has cast a very heavy shadow on this biblical city.
World news from the BBC. The Taliban in Afghanistan have condemned airstrikes reportedly carried out by Pakistan inside Afghan territory targeting Islamist militants. A spokesman said a number of children and other civilians were killed and injured in Paktika province. There's been no immediate comment from Islamabad. A blast at an explosives factory in northwestern Turkey has killed 11 people and injured 7 others. Turkey's interior minister visited the scene of twisted metal and shattered glass north of the city of Balıkesir. The authorities appear to have ruled out sabotage, stating that the blast was probably caused by a production line fault. A Russian missile has struck the Ukrainian city of Kryvyi Rih, killing one person and injuring more than a dozen others. It's the hometown of President Zelensky, who was broadcasting his Christmas message at the time. Will Vernon is in Kyiv.
Standing in front of Kyiv's St. Sophia Cathedral, Volodymyr Zelensky delivered a Christmas message to an exhausted nation. When they look up at their skies, he said, Ukrainians want to see a Christmas star shining there, instead of Russian drones and missiles. As the message was broadcast, Mr. Zelensky's hometown, Kryvyi Rih, came under attack. Local authorities say a Russian ballistic missile slammed into a four-story residential block. Videos posted by officials show rescuers hauling injured people out of rubble.
Sudan is falling ever further into famine, according to a new report by a global monitoring organization. The IPC found that two more camps for displaced people had now had catastrophic levels of hunger. More than 600,000 people are starving. BBC News.